Welcome to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. My name is Matt Baum. I'm your host, and today we're going to talk about money. If you've been paying attention, then you've probably heard that hemp is the new go-to cash crop for American farmers. It's going to save American farmers. It's going to change the way they do business, and that's true. It probably is going to change a lot of things, but right now, the single biggest impediment to hemp farmers, to hemp businesses, to anybody that wants to do anything in the hemp industry is moving your money around. While the 2018 Farm Bill made hemp legal to grow in all 50 states, there are still some states fighting this, like Idaho and South Dakota, and it may never be legal there the way that they're going, but it is legal just about everywhere else, and a lot of states are writing their own hemp programs right now. The biggest issue at the moment, big American banking doesn't trust hemp. It sees an industry that is not fully regulated, that is currently in its infancy, and just not worth putting their money behind. But there are some people that are working to change that, and today we're going to talk to two of them. Meet Clark Wu.
Well, my name is Clark Wu. I'm a cannabis attorney with Rose Law Group here in Scottsdale, Arizona. We've been with the medical marijuana industry here since its infancy.
Clark and his partners have been fighting the good fight for a long time, and he sat down to talk about the problems with banking and hemp in America.
We were a big part of the movement as well as the legislation that led to the medical marijuana program here. And we're also been with the hemp program here since its infancy. So we're very connected in the industry, not just in Arizona, but across the United States. We work regularly with cannabis clients in the medical marijuana industry, as well as hemp clients, and helping them, you know, resolve the various issues that's associated with it.
So right now, Arizona seems to be, I've talked to a couple lawyers that are from Arizona, and it seems to be a hotbed for you guys. Why is that? Why Arizona?
Yeah, there's been a lot of things going on here, which is very exciting stuff. We currently just rolled out our own hemp program in about June or early July of this year. Because of that, you know, we're finally rolling out industrial hemp licenses, which allows individuals in the hemp industry to grow, cultivate, and sell hemp here now in the state. Now, the program is very new, but at the same time, it's been a very, very big development. It's been a long time coming, and we're very excited about that. And in the backdrop of that, we also have legislation pushing for adult use. You know, that bill is still in its early stages, so it's yet to be seen what will come from that, but various exciting developments nonetheless.
So is this hemp or hemp and cannabis?
Hemp and cannabis.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So we have our hemp program was just rolled out. We have our new hemp bill that came out earlier this year, around May or so. That's when the rules first went into place, which established the hemp program here. But also at the same time, we now have adult use legislation that's running through our legislature. So hopefully we'll see something come out of that as well.
Now, this is a little off topic from what we're going to be talking about, but this is interesting, and I want to get a little more of it. Let me ask you, is the cannabis coming hand in hand with it because the state realizes that it's going to be very difficult to only legalize one without the other?
That there might be a component of that. One is just, you know, since the hemp bill went into effect last year, the 2018 federal hemp bill, which legalized hemp across the United States, it created this huge gray area. Because if you look at it from a practical standpoint, what's the difference between hemp and marijuana? They all fall under the cannabis company.
Right.
And you know, the only real distinction is the level of THC that's involved in these plants. But if you're looking at it from the outside, from someone that's not in the industry, you can't tell the difference.
You're looking at a leaf, basically.
Yeah, and because of that, it's, yeah, definitely. You're looking at the same plant, it all right. Looks like weed, so to speak. And because of that, there's been issues around the United States in terms of how states are implementing their hemp programs, because the federal government kind of left it up to each state to determine how they want to enact their own hemp program. But there's so much confusion right now in terms of the implementation of the hemp programs. how to deal with medical marijuana in connection with that, and how it's treated as a whole. So I think a lot of this legislation that's popping up, well, one, it's a movement that's been coming for some time, but
right.
two, it's an effort to kind of reconcile all these legal gray areas and zones that's been created by the new legislation that's been rolling out these past year or so.
Now, I'm not a lawyer, obviously, and that's why I'm talking mm-hmm. to you, but it would seem to me that legalizing marijuana takes care of 100% of the issues that you would also have with hemp. You don't have to worry about the confusion. You don't have to worry about transport. I mean, you just basically have to make sure this is marked as hemp and this is marked as marijuana, right?
That would definitely resolve a lot of these issues, and it would make my job a lot easier.
So this is job security right now is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm just glad you're working. Now, Clark, one of the biggest problems that is affecting hemp growers and hemp resellers is that electronic payment processors and banks don't want to deal with hemp money because they're terrified of the same stuff we're talking about with the legalization mm-hmm. and how it's going to work. What are you guys working on right now to, not destigmatize, but get them to even consider taking these payments, I guess is the right term.
Yeah, I guess before we get there, we have to kind of understand what the problem is and why are banks so hesitant to, the financial industry, why are they so hesitant to get involved with the hemp industry?
So let me ask you that. Well, your opinion, okay. What do you think is, why are they so hesitant? What's the biggest problem?
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem has to deal with two types of legislation. One is the federal money laundering statutes that have to deal with cannabis. So under these statutes, it states that any transaction involving the proceeds of the manufacture, distribution, or sale of marijuana to be illegal, even if the transactions are legal within the states or the county in which they occur, such as medical marijuana programs
right.
in the various states where they're legal. And the second part of that is banking regulations. Under current federal banking regulations, they prohibit what's called depository institutions, which are FDIC-insured banks, thrifts, and credit unions from entering into financial transactions or accepting account relationships involving illegal proceeds. And in addition to that, the U.S. Department of Treasury requires any transaction with illegal marijuana proceeds to be reported by filing a suspicious activity report with the federal government.
Good Lord.
Now, yeah.
So in a nutshell, it's legal. Don't worry about it. The Farm Bill made it all legal. But there's still all these other rules. How come, why does the Farm Bill not supersede this stuff? That's what I don't understand.
So here's the thing. So under the hemp bill, hemp is now legalized, which is, and that is true. And you would think that pursuant to that, banks would be more open towards working with cannabis-related companies, hemp companies. However, the issue comes with a huge risk and liability still with working in the hemp industry, because under the law, the only distinction between hemp, which is now legal, and marijuana, which is still a controlled substance, is a THC threshold.
Right.
And the legally permissible threshold is 0.3%. Now, as any grower would tell you, it's hard, it's hard to pinpoint and precisely cultivate hemp products or any type of cannabis products with a certain degree of precision regarding THC that's in these plants. So because of that, you carry the risk of, even though you're dealing with hemp, which is technically legal, what if some of the plants that you're currently cultivating or some of these products that you're currently manufacturing exceed that threshold? And now all of a sudden, you have proceeds that came with what supposedly came from hemp transactions are illegal. It's illegal now because now it's proceeds from marijuana because it exceeded that THC threshold.
Right.
And banks don't want to deal with that. That's a huge risk. That's a huge liability for them.
So it just basically comes down to, how do we protect our investment? And they're looking at it right now and saying, well, you can't. There isn't a good way to do that. So it's not a matter of we're too conservative or we don't think the laws are correct. It's more, how do we protect ourselves and how do we protect our own money? We don't see
Correct.
A clear way to do that right now.
Yeah. And, banks have taken positions on this. So last April, Evlon, which is a payment processing subsidiary of the U.S. bank, announced that it would stop working with businesses who deal with CBD, and other banks and institutions that follow suit, which leaves many, you know, business owners that's in the hemp industry scrambling to find alternative providers.
Right.
And now, would be entrepreneurs.
Is that just a matter of like they see what one company is doing and they go, all right, these guys are big, let's do it too? They just follow suit?
I mean, that might be a part of it, but at the same time, the issues that's and the risks that are associated, it's the same. So
right.
These larger institutions are doing this because to basically they're covering and protecting themselves. But the industry as a whole still seems very hesitant to make the transition over and working with members of the hemp industry, even though now the 2018 Farm Bill legalized hemp. So I know that's insane.
I keep shaking my head. This is an audio podcast, but I'm just like shaking my head while you're saying that stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, think about it from a business perspective, right? With these banks. And usually, as of right now, in the hemp industry, there's some large corporations out there working in hemp, but they're generally still smaller operations compared to other types of businesses.
Sure.
And because it's a small business, it's a relatively low cost for a financial institution to let them go compared to the risk of a much higher cost if the products that these companies are selling turn out to exceed federally allowed THC thresholds,
right,
which in case is illegal, and it drags these banks down.
So they're hedging their bets. They're just hedging their bets right now and saying, we're going to wait, see until somebody big gets in and see how they do it and see how it's handled. And then we'll open the floodgates. Is that what happens next?
I mean, I think there's a lot of wait and see right now for the financial institutions in the industry to see what's going on. But at the same time, there are things going on in the background on the federal level, which, it's promising. And it will potentially hopefully resolve all of these banking issues for members of not only the hemp industry, but the cannabis industry, the legal cannabis industry, at least, as a whole. And one of these things is something I'm sure you've already heard about, and you might have even discussed on your podcast, but it's the Secure and Fair Enforcement Banking Act. It's the SAFE Act, for sure.
Right.
And under this act, it would prohibit federal banking regulations from terminating deposit insurance, penalizing, or even discouraging banking institutions from providing financial services to legitimate cannabis-related entities or service providers, which encompass medical marijuana companies as well as hemp members of the hemp industry.
Now, I would assume they're going to have some pretty hardcore lobbying against that until such time that someone can either come up with a way that they can prove that the THC levels will always be the same, or we can get marijuana to a point where it is legalized and such that it's not an issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's I think that's a fair presentation of some of the challenges to this bill. And in terms of the testing, there's definitely I think there's ways to work around that. An example would be looking at some of the state programs I've rolled out, which require the mandatory testing of all hemp that's being produced currently, or at least under those states' programs. So there's already a push and a movement in certain states, at least, with mandatory testing and developing testing standards to ensure conformance and compliance with state and federal regulation to kind of prevent issues such as these.
Sure. So come up with the testing standards first, show it to the banks, and then the banks are going to go, okay, I like that. We'll put our money behind it.
Yeah. I mean, from a practical standpoint, that's something that that businesses could do, or at least individuals in the hemp industry could do. I know we're taking this little one step ahead now, but that's one thing that companies of the hemp industry could do to protect themselves. They could make sure that whatever products that they are currently working on or cultivating, or if it's if they're working with other individuals in the industry that they're purchasing products from, that everything is properly tested,
right,
that there's proper certifications, and you can present that to whatever financial institution that you might need lending services or banking services, and provide that to them. You know, be transparent, be upfront, and then hopefully that helps alleviate some of the bank's concerns or whatever financial institution that you're working with.
The whole thing just seems so bizarre to me, in the sense that, like, if you look at something like commodities markets, like pork belly, for example,
yeah,
if pork belly is bad and people eat it, they can die. But yeah. If there is 1%, you know, if there is 2 percentage points too much THC in marijuana and or in hemp, and someone takes it as an additive, literally nothing happens to them. That's you know, it's so ironic and ridiculous, you know.
I mean, unfortunately, we're in a very exciting time regarding cannabis and hemp legislation, but we're also at a very confusing time.
Right.
You know, the hemp bill created a lot of gray areas, and we've had this existing Controlled Substances Act, which classified cannabis as Schedule I drug. You know, frankly, it's outdated.
It's archaic.
And it leaves a lot of issues. And there's steps that's been taken to kind of address these things at both the federal and local level, or state level, I should say. You know, and I think it's just a matter of time. But as of right now, because of all the gray areas and the discrepancies between the federal regulations and a lot of state laws, you know, to be frank, we have these issues. You know, individuals who are working in the cannabis and hemp industries are unable to get the banking solutions that they need, and that creates a lot of issues. You know, if you can't go to the legitimate and what would you consider regular financial institutions for your banking needs, you often have to operate as a strictly cash business. That creates security risk, that creates issues, that creates transparency.
What could be the problem there? I don't understand.
Yeah.
So they know the money is there. They're waiting for basically the insurance that if we put our money here, we know that there will be a return and not as much risk based on gray areas and laws where crops could be seized, millions of dollars could vanish. And once they feel comfortable with that, then electronic payment companies will follow suit, I assume.
Correct. You know, and that's something that the SAFE Act is hoping to redress, because under the specific sections of this act, it would effectively amend the federal anti-money laundering statutes that's currently prohibiting banks from dealing with cannabis-related cash. And this will also protect, amongst other activities, real estate financing of marijuana products, broker-dealer custody of cannabis-related stocks, you know, and the receipts of dividends even paid on those stocks. So it opens the door to a lot more possibilities.
Right. So best case scenario, I know this isn't your job and no one's going to hold you to this. What do you think? Yeah. What's a timeline look like here? Best case scenario.
Well, yesterday, I saw a statement from Rob Nichols, I think that his name was the head of the American Banking Association.
Okay.
And he predicted that as early as September, but no later than October, the current Safe Banking Act will pass the full House of Representatives by bipartisan majority.
This and September, October? Like what we're living in now?
That's what we're living in right now.
That is shocking.
That is shocking to me. But I mean, I'm optimistic. There's currently 206 co-sponsors in the House right now,
wow.
And 26 of those, including Republicans. So this is something that has support from both sides of the aisle. It looks very promising. And, you know, it's still, even if it passes the House, it still needs to go through the Senate.
Of course.
That's going to take time. And it's going to take time for implementation of these rules. So, you know, in a perfect world, maybe by the end of next year, we're going to start seeing some changes or maybe some implementations of this act if it actually passes, but that's still a ways to go.
Right.
In the meantime, you know, we are still kind of in a wait and see. unfortunately, we're still kind of like in wait and see mode, I feel promising about this bill.
You're the first person I've talked to that's been this optimistic, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Normally, it's a lot of head scratching, going, we're doing our best, but sometimes beating your head against the wall. Clark, with guys like you on the front lines fighting, I feel like maybe this is going to happen sooner than we thought.
Yeah.
Thank you for your work, man. Like, seriously, it seems like an amazing minefield that you guys have to maneuver through, but you're figuring it out, and that's all we can ask.
Yeah, and you know, we're here to help. You know, we've been, not just myself, but the team I work with, my firm, we've been working in this industry for a long time. You know, we've been deeply involved in like I said before, we were deeply involved in both enactment of the medical marijuana program as well as the hemp program here. So this is something that you know, it's very close and dear to us that, and that we want to see done personally, because these changes that it's finally being undertaken in the industry, while exciting as it is, you know, it's long, I think it's long due.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, if this is going to be an industry, then we need to make it an industry. We can't go halfway. And it's time for everyone to get on board and accept this is the future. This is where we're going. Yeah. Now let's figure it out so we can do it legally. You know?
Correct.
Thanks again, Clark, for coming on the show. And I'll have links to his law firm and some other helpful stuff in the show notes. But he brings up a really good point. Right now, it's a scary thing for the banking industry to put their money down on. But there is something that might make them feel better about it. Betting on an unproven industry is very scary. And the one thing that could put the banking industry's mind at ease is crop insurance. I was lucky enough to sit down and talk with somebody on the very front lines of the subject. This is Jonathan Miller.
I'm the general counsel of the U.S. Hemp Roundtable.
The U.S. Hemp Roundtable is amazing and very important. They're a group of people representing dozens of companies that come from every link of the hemp product chain, from seed to sale, and all of the industry's major national grassroots organizations. They were key to the passage of the bipartisan legislation in the U.S. Congress that established hemp federally as an agricultural commodity and permanently removed it from regulation as a controlled substance. In short, they're for real.
Yeah, so we recognized early on how critical it was going to be to get crop insurance for hemp farmers. For the first several years of the program, there's been no crop insurance, and you know, a farmer's taking tremendous risk that some natural disaster is going to happen that would wipe out his crop and not get paid for it. And so when we were meeting early on with Senator McConnell about language in the Farm Bill, we told him this was a big priority. We gave him some language to use to help ensure there could be crop insurance, and he put it in there, and so now it's been authorized. The USDA, as you probably know, recently announced that they were going to offer whole farm insurance, which is great, but the trouble with whole farm insurance is that it's only available to a select number of farmers that are generally larger farms that have been in hemp for, for 4 or 5 years from the very beginning.
Sure.
It's not available to them. So we are working with AgriLogic, which has been given the go-ahead from the USDA to set up pilot programs for crop insurance that every farmer could apply for. And they right now are finalizing their plans in terms of what states will be participating in the pilot program. And we're trying to help them collect information, data on yields and pricing and production, so that they can put together the strongest pilot program possible.
So AgriLogic takes all the information that you are giving them, they put together how it's going to work roughly, and then they present it to the government and say, this is what we want to try and do.
Exactly.
Okay, so let me ask you, when you said whole farm insurance, like that's only going to cover a few, this would cover anyone that wants to grow basically any amount of hemp on their farm?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, not everybody's going to qualify. You know, you have to, there's going to be some qualifications for getting insurance, just like, you know, it's some people can't get good car insurance or the like.
Sure.
But, you know, the vast majority of hemp farmers would be able to apply and to secure this kind of insurance. And, you know, it's precisely what is needed. And we're excited to be part of that solution.
Yeah. So the pilot project launches and a few states will be involved. And then from there, they monitor the pilot project. And if it looks like it's working, does it become adopted by all 50 states? Is that just basically like, looks good, we'll do it?
Well, I think what you've got, it really, insurance is done on a state-by-state basis.
Right.
And it it is probably you're going to see, I think the best case scenario is that, in 2020, we have 10 or 12 or whatever. And then in 2021, maybe that expands to 25 to 30, who knows. But and certainly you're not going to be able to get crop insurance in South Dakota, Idaho, or Mississippi, where it's illegal. So,
right.
And in a state like Texas that just started, it's going to take some time to at least a year to be able to develop the data, because as you know, growing hemp in Texas is going to be quite different from growing it in Montana.
Of course. Yeah.
So I think that you'll be seeing this roll out over the next couple of years. And ultimately, if all those states pass bills, that you'll see it in all 50 states, but it'll probably take a little time for that.
Sure. Now, do you think that this is the last major impediment to getting the banking systems and just saying, okay, this is a lot more legit now that we know that these crops are insured, we're not so afraid to put our money into the system?
I don't think I think we still have other challenges for banking, and that remains to be, one of our biggest concerns.
Sure.
Banks. I think we need to get past the FDA guidance on CBD for farmers that are wanting to grow crops for CBD. There still are banks that are anxious about what the FDA has to say about that. There still is a lot of confusion in the marketplace. I think I've told you on your show before, I joke that my name is Jonathan Hemp is not marijuana Miller. I have to tell somebody that. By doing this, and to be precise, it's called multi-peril crop insurance. Mm-hmm. That's the way to level the playing field so that all farmers can have access to it. This will be a tremendous leap forward, and should give banks and any other financial lenders a lot more confidence that it's a worthwhile investment.
Fair enough. That's great. So best case scenario, you think 2 years, 3 years? I mean, we've got insurance for everybody and it's accessible and more farmers can come in and go, maybe it's not as big of a risk as I thought.
Yeah, if you saw that op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal by South Dakota's governor, I don't know whether South Dakota is going to come on board anytime soon. Idaho has also been quite a problem.
It just comes down to education and letting these old thinkers know, like, you're just wrong. You're just wrong about this, basically.
Oh yeah, I would think that it will take over the next 3 year period. You'll see, if not universal, you'll see overwhelming access to it.
And I would guess the more farmers that are getting into this now that there is crop insurance would put even more pressure on states like Idaho and South Dakota when they come to them and say, "Well, we want to grow this." So
yeah,
I mean, if nothing else, now that's not as big of a risk as it was. It should be more accessible. And if it's more accessible in other states and they see them making money, I mean, hey, it seems like the governor should follow, I would guess, but who knows?
Yeah, completely agree.
Again, we find ourselves in this head-spinning place where hemp is legal. And we are encouraging farmers to grow it, but it is still a huge risk. And until we can figure out these hurdles in banking and crop insurance, it's going to be scary. There's a lot of people that have already invested their time and their money in doing this, and they are truly pioneers, and they are working with people like Clark Wu and Jonathan Miller to develop hemp programs and to show the banking industry and the electronic payment industry and the insurance industry that this is not only a viable commodity, but it is the future, and it's coming whether you like it or not. So let's put our heads together. Let's write the legislation that's needed. Let's pay taxes on this. Let's do this the legal and correct way. And let's take the burden off the farmer. Let's take the burden off the small businessman. And let's make some money on hemp as a country. Keep in mind, and I cannot repeat this enough, This is a plant that the 2018 Farm Bill, signed by both Republicans and Democrats, possibly one of the only things that they can reach across the aisle and agree on. Both sides came together and agreed it should be legal. Farmers should be able to grow it. It should not be illegal to transport it through any state, looking at you, South Dakota, looking at you, Idaho. And no hyperbole. Hemp is unique in the fact that it can be used for seed, for stalks, for flowers, for so many different things, unlike any other crop that farmers are growing in America right now. Hemp is a perfect way for farmers to make money and do their land a favor. And we'll talk more about that in future shows. We just need to get the banking industry to recognize this and remove the risk from the farmers and the small business people that are trying to change the world. Thanks again to Clark and Jonathan for not only fighting the good fight, but coming on the show and spelling out what could be some pretty boring topics in a way that we can all understand it. And I'll have links to both of their sites and their law practices in the show notes, along with some other really helpful hemp links. Thanks again to everybody that has supported the show so far. If you're enjoying what you hear, the best thing you can do is go to iTunes and leave a star rating or a written review. It really, really helps to put this information in the ears of people that not only want to hear it, but maybe need to hear it. Speaking of that, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 402-819-6417, and you can leave a message with any of your hemp-related questions. I do a Q&A show every once in a while when I collect enough of your questions. And Kit, the editor-in-chief of ministryofhemp.com, and myself answer them right here on the show. It's so much fun. If you can't call us, you can also send an MP3 to matt@ministryofhemp.com or just email me your questions at matt@ministryofhemp.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter @ministryofhemp or Facebook /ministryofhemp. Speaking of ministryofhemp.com, go there every day to see the articles that Kit is publishing. Right now, ministryofhemp.com is pleased to partner with Charlotte's Web for the latest CBD giveaway. This time, they're giving away CBD for dogs. And I'm going to do a show about this soon, too, but CBD helps our four-legged friends also. Charlotte's Web is one of the top CBD brands that you can find on Ministry of Hemp. They've established an incredible and well-deserved reputation in the industry for quality of their products. They make all their CBD from hemp grown in Colorado. We love their products, and you can find them in our top CBD brands links. If you want to enter, follow us on Instagram and Ministry of Hemp, and like our post, mention three of your friends, and subscribe to our newsletter. You could win some Charlotte's Web CBD for your puppy dog. The Ministry of Hemp podcast is edited and produced by me. So if you like it, let me know. Makes me feel good. Lets me know that I'm not just talking to myself here. It's time for me to get out of here. So this is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp saying take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good choices, will you? This is the Ministry of Hemp signing off.